Our reading for Thursday, April 30th, is going to be in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon, who had previously practiced magic in the city, and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So when we read yesterday in chapter 7 and the beginning of chapter 8, we saw that Stephen had convicted them of being just like their fathers in persecuting and killing prophets. And indeed that applied to Jesus and then, of course, Stephen, as they stoned him because they were angry at him for convicting them. And Saul was approving of his execution, chapter 8 and verse 1, and he begins persecuting the church. Entering house and after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. So that's the backdrop of what's going on when we get into chapter 8 and Philip proclaiming the Christ. So it says in verse 4 that they were scattered about and that they were preaching the word. So this persecution ended up benefiting those who received the word outside of Jerusalem. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. The crowds began to pay attention. They noticed what he was preaching as well as the signs that he was doing. And we are introduced to Simon. Simon was a magician, one who engaged in some acts of deceit, I would classify it as, in order to convince others that he was someone who could do great things or powerful things. But I want you to notice something interesting here. That even though they paid attention to Simon, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great," when the real thing came along in Philip, they didn't hesitate. They noticed that something different was going on, and even Simon himself understood this. Verse 13, Simon believes, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, seeing great signs and miracles being performed. He was amazed at these things. But then, the apostles at Jerusalem send Peter and John. Why did they have to send Peter and John? Is it not enough for Philip to do the preaching here? Well, certainly it is enough for Philip to do the preaching. But there's another purpose. Verse 15, they came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that's because Philip was not able to do this particular thing. He was not an apostle. He did not have the ability to lay hands on someone and impart gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is also explained to us if you look down in verse 18. Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, and that's when he says, "Give me this power also." That was not something they had as what they could do. They could give gifts of the Spirit, but they could not give the ability to lay hands and impart gifts of the Spirit. So it's very important that we establish that here, that only the apostles could do this. And of course, you know, Simon, he's accustomed to this. This is the way, you know, pagan religions were. You would basically buy your way into things, buy your way into notoriety, buy your way into the cushy job, if you will, I guess is the way you would put it. And he was used to, you know, being that person of notoriety that everybody looked up to you. But Peter, of course, tells him in verse 20, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." And this was a greedy motive. It was not a pure motive. It was not a spiritual motive. It was a carnal motive. And he tells him that he needs to repent of this wickedness and pray that he might receive forgiveness. And Simon answers in verse 24, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." And so Simon understood the implications of what they were telling him. He was going to lose that which he had gained because of this carnal attitude, and he needed to leave it behind. Then we're introduced to the Ethiopian eunuch. An angel of the Lord tells Philip, go toward the south, the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, and find this Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her treasure. Tells us a little bit of background. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, so he would have been a Jew. He would have been a devout Jew, traveling this far, and perhaps we would even say a man of some means and influence, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Not everybody had their personal copy of the prophecy of Isaiah for them to read along the way. So all of these are notable things about him. So he goes over and joins the chariot as the Spirit tells him, and he asks this simple question, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He doesn't make some big pitch to get the Ethiopian eunuch to listen to him. He just asks him a simple question. He's sitting there reading scripture, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" That needs to be a lesson for us. We don't need a big sales pitch, if you will, to talk to someone about the Bible, especially if they're already reading it. They wouldn't be reading it if they had no interest. So, of course, he's reading from Isaiah. He's reading about Jesus. He wonders who the prophet is speaking of. And Philip used this to teach him about Jesus, beginning right where he was. Now, we don't have everything that Philip told him about Jesus. I'm sure that he established that Jesus was the fulfillment of this particular prophecy. Told him about the crucifixion of Jesus. He would have told him about Jesus being the sacrifice for sins. And he would have told him how to take advantage of the offer of God's grace through Jesus Christ, because what does he ask? They see water and he says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" He had to be told about these things in order to ask that particular question. We don't have to have every little detail of what Philip taught him in order to understand these things. Luke gave us the information that we needed in order to understand the event and the importance of the event. So he commands the chariot to stop after he's given the good confession. They go into the water and the eunuch is baptized. And so he comes up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord carries away Philip, and the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. We don't know anything more about the eunuch, but based on what we do know about him, these little details that are given, I think it's a safe assumption that when he got back to Ethiopia, that he began sharing the gospel with others, and that he was the beginnings of a church in that particular area. That is a local congregation of the Lord. And so then it just gives us a little bit of information of where Philip found himself after this when he comes to Caesarea. Then chapter 9, we're going to get into the conversion of Saul, where he goes from Saul the persecutor to Saul the believer, another extremely important event within the book of Acts. So some important things to note and consider for today, some things for us to meditate upon. We need to realize how important it is for us to be as receptive to the word of the Lord as these examples were in the New Testament, both in terms of repenting of any sin that we commit, as well as opening our hearts to Jesus. I would ask that you continue in prayer and pray that God be with us during this trying time, and pray that God be with those that are researching and those that are tending to the people that have come down to be ill, and pray that we might be able to get back to some sense of normality in our lives, and of course be able to gather together again. Thank you, and please come back again tomorrow.